Hey, closet busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey, everyone. It is closet dweller time and time to come out of those closets and live your life uncloseted. And you know what? This is the very first show of Life Uncloseted. And I know you've been hearing about this for a while, and we're actually here. And I thought, what better way than to bring somebody in who really personifies to me what it means to live your life uncloseted. But before we dive into that, what I want to talk about is a word. It's called impact. And in my life, impact happened when I realized that, man, that coming out piece for me had to be the thing that moved me into living my life uncloseted. And then right about the time that I was starting to get my feet wet as a coach and everything, I came across this little book called The Art of Nonconformity, and I knew I'd found a voice. I knew I'd found a spirit, a mentor that I hadn't even met yet. And then, lo and behold, here we are today. I'm interviewing a guy who's really become somebody that I admire greatly. Now, he's a genuine guy, I got to tell you that, who has found beautiful ways to build communities, to live his life not in a nonconforming lifestyle. He takes on adventures, and he truly, truly pursues everything he pursues from a space of service. He's a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author, to say the least, but he's also the founder of World Domination Summit. And every time I bring that up, no, it's not some kinky sex summit. It's actually a really cool thing. And he's one of the handful of people on the planet that's actually visited all 193 countries. But most of all, he's a guy that really brings his genuine self to the world and lives his life uncloseted. And we're going to go explore what it means for Chris Guillebeau to really, truly pursue a life of living uncloseted. So thanks for being here, man. I truly appreciate you.
Dude, thank you for having me. That's an incredible introduction.
Well, thanks, man.
I'm the first guest on your show as well. I'm feeling the pressure.
Yeah, you should. You should, because I'm gonna make you just really come out and be yourself, but you're used to doing that. So yeah, you are the first one. I was so excited when you decided to do this, because I know that as you have created what you've created on the planet, and as you've explored your life and starting everything from all the stuff you did as a solopreneur and everything, I couldn't think of a better person to talk about what does it mean to like unleash yourself and allow yourself to live a life uncloseted. And truly, Chris, you know, my first exposure to you was The Art of Nonconformity. And I remember reading that book, and I started reading it. It was one of the few books in my life that I actually read all the way through before I put it down. So what really inspired you in your life to finally realize, you know what, I've just got to be one of those people that's going to not conform and do things a little bit different?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a single moment. You know, I don't know if it's a lot of people, if they wake up one day and they're like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, become unleashed or uncloseted or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's lots of points of transition. But I guess for me, it was, I don't know, I mean, like kind of a refocusing in some ways, because I was pretty rebellious as a teenager. I was a juvenile delinquent, didn't do very well with traditional education, actually dropped out of high school. And those are like, you know, the behavioral issues, but right. Probably like more important, I was really depressed and didn't want to live and all kinds of stuff as a teenager. So somehow I was able to kind of, you know, turn that around and, you know, continue with the rebellious streak, continue with the independent thinking, but obviously in a much more positive way. And then when I was a young adult, probably like 18, 19, 20, that's when I discovered micro entrepreneurship essentially. And once I found a way to kind of earn a living, even if I wasn't making a huge amount of money, you know, once I found a way to earn a living by not working for somebody else, I was like, okay, I'm hooked on that, you know, like, so I'm going to go with that and see where that leads. And one thing kind of leads to another. And, you know, after 9/11, I was also kind of just feeling depressed, but in a different way. Like, I wasn't so depressed for myself. It was more like, what can I do for the world? How can I do something good? Because I feel like I have had a lot of privilege and made it out of some tough times, and now I'm doing okay. So what's the response to that? You know, and that led to me going overseas and spending a few years as an aid worker. I mean, there's just like this process, you know, from there to from A to B to C to D. You know, I come back to the States. I start this project to go to every country in the world, start writing the blog, The Art of Nonconformity, which turned into the first book. And then everything else that came next, which maybe we'll talk about or maybe not. But yeah. I guess the point is, it's not like I said, like, I'm ready to be unleashed, you know, today, unleash me. But I did try to like open myself, you know, to new experiences and challenges. And I kind of realized early on that I really like challenges. Like I like identifying big goals and kind of going after them. And I think when people tend to do that, it's like as you approach a goal, then you realize, okay, I've actually got even more confidence now. Like what's the next kind of thing? So it tends to grow with you as you go along.
You know, that's really the essence of this uncloseted life that I work with people on. It's that as I came out of the closet, if somebody had told me, okay, now the next closet you're going to come out of is you're going to come out of the closet of working for corporate America and go into that space of being your entrepreneur, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. But one of the things that's happened in the last couple of years is I've seen the linkage there, that whether you're coming out of the closet sexually, you're coming out to be an entrepreneur, you're coming out of a relationship that's not working, it is this constant uncloseting. And if we go back to what is in the closet, it's what's in the closet that actually will help us get out of those closets, especially after you've done it the very first time. It's like, okay, now that I've come out of the closet as a gay man, I can pretty much come out of any closet in life. And this is what I just kind of heard you say. It's like, okay, I did this thing going abroad, and then I did this, and then I started touring the world and all this sort of stuff. So it sounds like it's the same pathway. You build upon the past experiences and you keep using it to do what you do over and over again. Is that true?
Yeah. I like having those reference points, like you mentioned. You know, if you've had a difficult situation in your life, maybe even a traumatic situation, you know, or something you thought you could never see your way through, but then you got through it. Then like, as you encounter future setbacks or future challenges, you kind of look back and you're like, well, man, like I could get, you know, if I could get through that thing, like this is going to be okay. You know, if somebody said something bad about me on the internet, like I'll be all right, you know?
Right. Well, and I know part of this, and you know, if we don't want to go here, but I know part of one of the biggest challenges in your life was the loss of your brother. That was a big one for you. And I think what most people don't realize is when those kind of moments show up, those losses are the greatest training grounds for what yet is to come in your life.
Yeah, I don't mind speaking about it. It's a hard thing for me to speak about, but it's also a part of my life. And it's like something that's with me every day. So yeah, about a little bit more over 2 years ago, I lost my brother. He was 31 years old. And it was totally unexpected, just out of the blue. And, you know, obviously went through and still going through like, you know, grief associated with that, but definitely has helped to kind of reorient. It's another reorienting point for me. And like, what am I going to do with that? Like life is short. I'm 39 now. I've been able to live a lot longer than he was able to. And he was also a very kind person. And he was one of the kindest people I know. And so after he died, I kind of realized like, lots of different areas in my life, I feel like I actually haven't been that kind, you know? And like I go on shows and people like you say these really nice things about me in the beginning, which is very nice of you. I think like, well, you know, I did that, but then like also like I'm, you know, I don't know, I've got ego, you know, like I don't do everything out of service. I don't know, you know, it's been good to kind of have that as this difficult, but you know, present authentic reference point for what
I do
next.
So what I'm going to say is you heard it here first. Chris is human. He's absolutely fucking human here.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, and that happens to me too, man. You know, people are like, oh my God. I'm like, please don't, you know, Jonathan Fields, mutual friend of ours. Jonathan's like, I hate it when somebody calls me like a guru. I'm like, I can appreciate that, but there's a lot of pressure there. You know,
it's not really helpful to, you know, anybody who's listening or watching a conversation, if that person doesn't ever kind of step out of that role, because you're like, okay, cool. Like that person's awesome. Like what's my takeaway here?
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think too, for those of us, you know, and I don't know that you know this about me, but I'm actually an introvert too. I mean, I come across as like a complete extrovert, but there's a big introvert side to me that's like, no. I'm great when I'm on stage and I'm great when I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But you throw me in a room, you know, if you threw me in WDS first year, you would have seen how much now that I'm like one of the gang, it's like,
you're like a pioneer.
Yeah. But man, those other things, it's not surprising to see those of us that get thrown in that, then we get these labels thrown on. It's like, okay, that doesn't feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. So
I'm glad we can dispel that image. That's good.
Well, yeah, I think it's important because it's an uncloseting thing. I think so many people throw up, and you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years as I've been building towards this idea is we build our own closets, but man, a whole lot of other people build closets around us too. Mm. It's like suddenly here you are, you're Chris right. Guillebeau, you're the New York Times bestseller, you're the guy who's done all this. And each of those things is beautiful and great about who you are.
Sure.
But they're also a closet wall that kind of starts to build around where now this is the expectation that people have. So when people have these expectations of Chris, what is the hardest thing for you to do what we basically just did, to humanize, this is who I really am?
I think I need to add a sentence to my bio. Like at the end, you know, you have this official bio that's like, here's what you, what you've done. You're the author of so-and-so and all that stuff. I think I need to add a sentence that's like, and he's also making everything up as he goes along.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Exactly.
Absolutely true.
Right.
Absolutely.
Which is all any of us can do.
Right.
There is, there is no blueprint for life. And
exactly. That's a good word. You know, blueprint. I'm using that in like my new tour talk that I'm doing, but there's a blueprint for starting like a certain kind of business, but there's not necessarily a blueprint for navigating these kind of life, you know, situations. And I think it's wise that you kind of recognize that you're presenting like maybe, I don't know, you're presenting like case studies or examples or a pathway or like a skeleton or something, but obviously each person's journey is unique. So yeah, that's the first thing I think of is like, you know, Chris is making it up as he goes along. He had no strategic plan for any of this. He's grateful for where he is, but he's got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. That's how I think about it.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it too. You know, when I think about, you know, coming out and people say, wow, you've done so much. I said, yes, but here's the thing. As this all happened, none of what I do right now was part of the plan. Yeah. If somebody had told me, you know, back in 1999, as I was coming through the closet doors, that I would be a podcast, I would be a guy who wrote a book about coming out, that I would be doing this sort of stuff, I'd say, you're absolutely freaking crazy. But the blueprint becomes the pathway, you know, suddenly, or the pathway becomes the blueprint, either way you want to look at it, and you move forward. So let's kind of dive in, because one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on here was to talk about the new book, because I felt like, you know, Side Hustle is a really beautiful way for someone to uncloset themselves. You know, we all get caught up in, here's the role I play, here's what I'm supposed to do. And actually, I was at a conference just a week ago speaking, and I brought up in front of the group, I brought you up about the book, because I'm like, you know, people are like, well, help us really understand this in corporate environments. I said, think about this. If you could actually uncloset your employees to feel comfortable about doing something on the side that really brings them joy, how much more would they show up for work in a really present space? And I said, my friend Chris Guillebeau has a book out called Side Hustle that I feel like in every company that is trying to really move their employee engagement forward, they should give this book to people, because there's going to be those that really want to be doing something on the side, but they don't feel like they can.
Right.
So I think this side hustle thing is a perfect example of a closet. So let's just ask the typical question. Where was the inspiration from this one? And I love it, because I hadn't had a chance to listen to any of the podcasts till we saw each other at Podcast Movement a couple of weeks ago. But I love the format of, you're just kind of telling people's stories. There isn't any.
Right.
But
exactly. Yeah. Where did it come from? Well, let's start with your first point about employers and employees. I do think like forward thinking companies, some, you know, are beginning to kind of embrace that. And they recognize exactly what you just said, that like you want your employees to come to work because they want to be there, like because they believe in the mission and they like their coworkers and they appreciate that kind of social environment and so on and so forth, not just for the paycheck. So yeah, I guess you find out pretty quickly like why your people are actually there if, you know, they're enabled to do something else. So I hear stories like that. I also hear from people who are like, you know, I'm writing you from my cubicle, like I'm not supposed to be doing this, you know, I'm listening to the podcast like secretly and all, you know, all that. So I think there's different situations. But the impetus or like the inspiration for this book, which I guess has now been out a few weeks or so, depending on when people are listening. I was on a book tour last year for a previous book, and I did about 30 cities. I think we hung out somewhere, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And I talked about side hustles for maybe like 2 minutes of my 30-minute stump speech. Mm-hmm. It was just like a little kind of minor point. And then I noticed like afterwards, probably 50% of the questions I got were about this topic. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like that resonated more than anything else. And I've been writing about, you know, starting a, you know, different second income, third income, whatever, for, you know, 8 years now. But I just decided to really kind of focus in on this concept. And I feel like everybody's talking about it, but they also have different understandings of what it is. And some people are like, oh, my side hustle is my part-time job. And I'm like, that's cool. But I'm trying to actually help people create assets, create something that they have ownership over that they can point to and say, you know, I made that and it's going to make money for me, you know, potentially while I'm off doing other stuff. And So ultimately, the book is for, you know, busy people who most likely have a job. It's not for people who necessarily like want to be entrepreneurs, quote unquote, mm-hmm. because not everyone does. I think the other thing is like we all have our own biases. And I guess, you know, for years, I just assumed, well, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, doesn't everybody want to do that? You know,
right.
And then I realized actually, no, you know, there's actually good companies out there because I never had that corporate experience at all, right. Like either positive or negative. So I understand like, oh, there's good companies out there, good organizations doing stuff. You want to be part of like something bigger than mm-hmm. yourself. And that's cool. And lastly, even if people want to quit their job, they can't necessarily do it tomorrow.
Right.
So I think people have always seen this like divide between like, I'm an employee or I've got this business up and running and like, what do I do? Do I take this huge risk mm-hmm. and quit my job when maybe I've got a family or a mortgage or whatever? Mm-hmm. So the whole message of the book is, or the whole process of the book is to show people like how to create this new source of income without quitting their job.
Well, and it's a beautiful way of, you know, again, starting to plant the seeds of living your life uncloseted. There are ways to go do these things that you want to do. And I think too many people, and you know, through Art of Nonconformity and the $100 Startup and Born for This and all those books that you've written, there's always that underlying thread, what my friend Tamsin Webster would say, which is the red thread between all this is that everything is possible. You just got to find the right route for you to make it happen. And it's not always going to be give up the corporate job or, you know, do this. There's going to be a thread. And I believe that this is, you know, especially WDSers, I love being around them because they're always looking for, okay, what's the way to make this happen? And how can I do it in the most unconventional way for myself, but yet fit for me? That's
right.
Because how does this fit for me, bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
And I think too many people get hung up in, okay, well, let's go do it the way Chris did it or Lewis Howes or, you know, whomever it might be. And the thing is take from it, see it, and then go, okay, now how can I overlay this into my life and make it really work? So
absolutely.
I find it really interesting that, you know, you were on book tour for Born for This, and then this thing kept coming up, which... I was laughing because I was listening to Jonathan interviewing Gretchen Rubin the other day. She brought up the same thing about the four tendencies. The four tendencies was something in her last book.
Yep.
Suddenly, every time, you know, all of us that do these book tours, you know, or we're talking about our books, suddenly there becomes this thread of questions. And you're like, okay, well, I guess this is kind of the thing I need to be talking about next, which is actually why this podcast and this direction in my business has come up.
That's good.
Somebody said to me, you know, you're great at shining the light on the closet story that somebody has, and it isn't necessarily what everybody assumes to be a closet story.
Yeah.
There's the story behind the story that has similar threads, and then boom, there it is. And this is exactly how this became born.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right in the middle of the tour.
So you're paying attention, which is good.
Yes, I'm paying attention. I've been watching a lot of good mentors right now. So.
Paying attention is a very like underappreciated skill, I feel like. You know, it's... People often ask, like, how do you get ideas for different things? Like, just, you know, curiosity, observation, listening to what people say. Probably would have been easy for you to just kind of ignore that. And I could have ignored it or Gretchen, but, you know, thankfully we're choosing to respond to that. So anyway, you're saying I'm out on tour. I'm doing a different city every day, pretty much.
Yep. Just like you always do with your book tours. And, you know, I would just assume that, you know, all of this continues to probably feed some idea, and we will wait to see at the end of this tour what comes out of it. But
Not strategic, making it up as I go.
Exactly. And listening, I love the attentive thing you just brought up, because I think it is the attention stuff. You know, I actually had a conversation at WDS with someone who was a brand new attendee, and she went to my meetup, and which was all about making a big, bold move. And I could just tell as this young woman was sitting there, I could just see the wheels were starting to turn and spin. And she came up to me afterwards and she goes, you know, I've been looking and trying to find the thing that really resonated for me. And she goes, it's that I know I have this bold move, but I'm just not making it. And you've helped me see it. And I said, well, it sounds like you were really paying attention. So it's ironic that here we are doing this interview and that word came up. And literally Tuesday after WDS, she shot me a message and said, I just want you to know I made my bold move. I gave my notice today. And I'm
going. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Good for her and good for you.
It's good for you too, because you help create this container. I think that's one of the things that those that are not familiar with WDS is there's a beautiful container that gets created in the experience where people feel like they can step into things and they can really do the thing that, you know, in your world, it would be living life that's nonconforming. In my world, it would be uncloseting themselves. And I think that's so important to find those containers where you feel safe to do this stuff. So what's next? What do you feel like's next for you? I know there's never a strategy. There's never
right. That's right. I mean, this is kind of a big thing because I actually struggle with focus, and I'm the kind of person that I have to have like a bunch of projects going on, and that brings advantages and disadvantages, of course. And so for this year, it really was like all side hustle all the time, and like a different episode every day on the podcast, 7 days a week. Just really investing in that. So that takes a lot of time. And now the 100 city tour, like, you know, on top of that, I actually think like going into next year, I'm going to continue much of this focus. Like I might do it a different way, but I feel like it is resonating with people and it's very practical. So I always appreciate just like the story you just shared, like the intersection between something I do and then something that then kind of, you know, affect someone's life in a positive way. And I always make sure I give them the credit for it because like they're the ones who actually do that. You know, they're the ones who like move forward to, you know, start their project or give their notice or whatever it is. But I'm really motivated by that. That is a major motivation for me.
Yeah.
So anything I can do to keep seeing that is good. But I don't know, I'm also turning 40 next year, you know, so I'm thinking like, what does that signify anything? Do I need to do something different? You know, I have some frustrations and personal issues, you know, just like everybody does. And I never quite know how to resolve those.
Yeah, it's interesting because I, you know, 14 years ahead of you on that spectrum age, but 40 was no biggie. 40 was
okay,
like,
good,
oh, cool,
great.
Here we go. Let's just go, you know?
Good.
And, but there was a kind of a little bit of a cushion in there because I came out when I was 36, so I was 4 years into being my authentic self. So it's like, okay, things are starting to happen. 50 was my worst. 50 hit me, and I've never been that guy that's like, oh yeah, I get hung up on birthdays. But at 50, my youngest was graduating high school.
Yeah.
My oldest was entering college and I turned 50 all within a 3 week period.
Okay. A lot of change.
A lot of change. And I think the beauty of all this is when you allow yourself to see it in that spectrum of, okay, there's lots of transition going on here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let myself be in it. You can't do anything anyway.
Right. Exactly. The birthday rolls around whether you want it to or not.
Right. The birthday rolls around, the kids grow up, the kids move on, you know, yada, yada, yada. But it is. It's very amazing to see what happens. So I'm curious, Chris, I mean, we know each other fairly well, but I don't know some of the deeper stuff, and I'm not going to go deep here, but what's one of your most important core values for you as a person?
I think it's striving. You know, we've talked about that a little bit, like striving, just like always working towards something. Like ultimately it's about the journey, of course, not the destination, but I think the destination is helpful. You know, like that for me, that's the going to every country in the world. It gave me like this framework to live essentially. And I was doing lots of other stuff. It wasn't like that's all I did, but it was like this reference point to use that phrase again.
Yeah.
So striving, you know, that's why I think like I'm going to go out and talk to people about side hustles. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to go to a bunch of cities. Well, is it exciting to say I'm going to go to a bunch of cities? I don't know. I've done to a bunch of cities before.
Right.
I've never done 100 cities before. Okay. Right. That's exciting. I'll do that. You know, that's kind of my thought process. The same thing with like the podcast every day. I really like, you know, this kind of numerical goal that then affects like my routine and all that. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like it is something that really drives you because, you know, I'm going to go to 193 countries. Now I'm going to do the 100 city book tour. And there's always something there, you know, and I know it being a WDSer, there's always something about breaking the world records. You know, there's things that are
always trying to change that and reinvent that. Of course, reinvention maybe is another value. Like I'm trying to always not do the same kind of things. I don't want to live in the past. Went through kind of another little depressive phase, not nearly as major as the other ones we talked about, but after visiting every country in the world, even in the few months leading up to it, like that final country, I could tell I was like, man, like, I don't know what I'm going to, it's not like I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, but I don't know what I'm going to think about myself. You know, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to be, almost immediately I was like, I don't want to be that guy like who did this thing. Right. And you're always talking about this is what he did. It's in the past. Like, what am I doing now? You know, like we all know people who like, they're still living their high school, you know, football days or whatever. And they're 40 or 50 or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, you know, it's been a long time.
I'm well beyond that. I don't live in the past, but you just brought up the two things of, you know, reinvention and striving. And, you know, as somebody who has built his latest career around, you know, the whole coming out journey and living life and truly being who you are, those two things really hit home to me as you were saying them, because I think this is the essence of what the Life Uncloseted and coming out journey is all about. You're striving so hard to be authentically who you are. And in order to do that, it's always going to be a constant move of reinventing yourself. Because every day, in every way, and I think entrepreneurs will start to understand where I'm going with this too, you're always coming out. You're always saying, this is who I am. And then as an entrepreneur or somebody who's creating a side hustle or somebody who's really trying to live a life that's non-conforming, you're always going to be coming out about that and talking about, well, this is how I'm choosing to live my life uncloseted. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to do this side hustle thing in addition to this. I'm going to be who I'm meant to be. And I think this is just, it's a beautiful place where our two messages kind of intersect. It's all the same thing that really gives people the opportunity to empower themselves and realize whether you put it in a container of nonconformity or you put it in an uncloseted life, the beauty of it is each and every one of us strives to do something that is constantly a daily reality of the life we live.
It's very well said.
As we wrap up, man, I'd love to just see if there's any last advice you'd like to give people who may be looking to really push that envelope and live their life a little bit out of the ordinary into the extraordinary and to step into a place of living a life uncloseted.
Yeah. Well, I think they've taken the first step by listening to this podcast and subscribing, hopefully. It's probably a self-selecting audience, which is good. You know, the people out there, they're like, yes, this is what I need. I guess the thing that's on my mind, like top of mind recently, you know, people always ask you like, what would you say to your younger self or whatever? And I don't think I had a good answer for that for years. I just kind of made up some bullshit answer. Mm-hmm. But now I actually have a real one. All of a sudden I'm like, huh, it took me like 8 years to come up with a real one. But, and I'm still figuring out how to formulate it. But it's something about, like, we started with that notion of rebellion and how in some ways it was unproductive, but then it became productive. I guess I would go back and maybe this is, you know, for somebody out there as well. Like if you have this thing in your nature that people have tried to like take away, essentially, like as you get older, people are going to try to like soften your edges and people are going to try to like kind of tamp that down. Don't let them do that. Right. Don't let them do that to you and don't do it to yourself.
Right.
You know, for me, I don't think a ton of people on the external side were actually like trying to soften me or soften my message. But I kind of felt through the years, oh, okay, well, that was like, that was then, you know, this is now. But I actually think that questioning spirit, that independence, like that drive for freedom, maybe even being opposed to like certain conventional beliefs, it actually has helped me a lot. And so maybe I would say to anybody out there, like if there's something like that, you know, in your past, in the closet, perhaps, like it's not something to necessarily be forgotten. Maybe it is to be embraced, like Rick talks about a lot.
Yeah. Well, like I said, everything that's in your closet is actually the stuff that's going to help you get out of your closet. And sometimes we forget that, you know, that dark corner where everything is also a lot of times where the solutions to how you're going to step yourself forward and out of those closets to be how you're supposed to be living. All right, my friend. Well, hey, I appreciate you during this busy time of being on
of course
and everything.
Absolutely.
Take your time out. And, you know, I just love everything you do and so glad to be part of the WDS community. So.
Oh man, you're a huge part of it. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on as the inaugural guest.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. And we will move on and move forward. And I'm sure there'll be a whole lot more WDSers that'll be part of Life Uncloseted. So thanks again, man.
Fantastic, man.
And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone. Wherever you can, spread the word. Because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.